Come on, praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, let's give God some hand praise in this place. We come to bless the Lord this morning. Lift the name of Jesus on high, because truly he is worthy. Is he worthy, somebody? He's worthy of all our praise. So come on and bless the Lord with me. Come on and bless the Lord with me. Bless the Lord with me. Come on and bless
the Lord with me.
Yeah. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord with me.
Now say hallelujah.
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 Come on. Nothing out there. Come on, do this. Come on and clap your hands with me. Come on and clap
your hands with me.
Come on and clap
your hands with me.
Clap your hands.
Clap your hands with me.
Now say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on and wave your hands with me. Come on and wave
your hands with me.
Come on and wave
your hands with me.
Wave your hands.
Wave your hands with me.
Now say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That was a little weak, but that's all right, because we're going to praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Jesus, blessed Savior, he's worthy to be praised. Come on, say it. Praise him.
Praise him.
Praise him.
Praise him.
Praise him.
Praise him.
Come on and
praise him.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Blessed Savior.
Blessed Savior. He's worthy.
I wish I had five people that would stand up and praise him.
Praise him.
Yeah. Praise him.
Praise him.
Praise him.
Praise him.
Come on and
praise him.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Blessed Savior.
Blessed Savior.
He's worthy.
He's worthy
to. From the rising,
from the rising of the sun,
until the going,
until the going.
come on and praise Him. Jesus.
Jesus.
Blessed Savior.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right. Amen. Good to see all of you, and thank you. Let's go to Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Thank you, Brother Ryan, Brother Terry, Brother Carl, EMC. Hebrews chapter 9. Before I go any further, I do want to thank Deacon Green for helping me out, and I want to thank all of the trustees and deacons who got us a brand new sound system. So we're very appreciative. Verse 11 says, but that appointed time came when Christ the Messiah appeared as a high priest of the better things that have come and are to come. Then, through the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with human hands, that is not a part of this material creation, he went once for all into the Holy of Holies of heaven, not by virtue of the blood of goats and calves by which to make conciliation between God and man, but his own blood, having found and secured a complete redemption or an everlasting release for us. For if the mere sprinkling of unholy and defiled persons with blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a burnt heifer is sufficient for the purification of the body, how much more surely shall the blood of Christ, who by virtue of his eternal spirit his own pre-existent divine personality, has offered himself as an unblemished sacrifice to God. Purify our consciences from dead works and lifeless observances to serve the ever-living God. Christ the Messiah is therefore the negotiator and mediator of an entirely new agreement, testament, or covenant, so that those who are called and offered it may receive the fulfillment of the promised everlasting inheritance, since a death has taken place which rescues and delivers and redeems them from the transgressions committed under the old first agreement. For where there is a last will and testament involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will and testament is valid and takes effect only at death, since it has no force or legal power as long as the one who made it is alive. So even the old first covenant, God's will, was not inaugurated and ratified and put in force without the shedding of blood. I'm going to jump to verse 24. For Christ, the Messiah, has not entered into a sanctuary made with human hands, only a copy and pattern and type of the true one, but he has entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the very presence of God on our behalf.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you.
So, right at this moment in heaven, there is a Holy of Holies. In that Holy of Holies, there is a container. In that container is the blood of Christ. As long as the blood is there, your sins are forgiven. It is what you have received, not what you have achieved. And so when we come to this point where we're celebrating what Christ has done, we come to the table grateful, and we come to the table humbly acknowledging that he has done for us what no one else could have done. My last point on that is this. If he were a temporary being, then that means that the blood would only last for a certain amount of time. But because he is eternal, the blood will last for eternity. Isn't that good news?
Yes, it is. Hallelujah.
Take a moment to thank God for what he's done for you and what he has called you to, chosen you to receive, and offered to you. And then going a little bit further by coming inside of you and giving you the desire to accept his offer.
Yes, Lord.
It's going to be all right. Yes, it is. On the night that our Savior was betrayed, I talked to you. He took bread, broke it, blessed it, and said, "This is my body broken for you." Let us eat together. He then took the cup, blessed the cup, and said, "This is the blood of the New Testament." As often as we do this, we show his death, burial, and resurrection until he returns. Let's drink together. Ushers, if anybody is in the vestibule, you can let them in at this time, please. While they are coming in, I'd like to acknowledge two individuals, if you don't mind. And even if you do mind, I'm going to acknowledge them anyway. One of our most beloved deacons has been in and out of the hospital over the last couple of months. Dealing with some pretty severe and serious issues. And I'm so glad that God has given her the strength, the health, and the ability to come back and be here with us today. And that's Deacon Colleen Cooper. The other person that I'd like to acknowledge today, and if I don't acknowledge you today, don't get your rocks, your jaws. But the other person I want to acknowledge today is the best singer in the EMC choir, the most prolific, profound, gifted, and talented singer that we have in any choir here at First Baptist Church. And so I want to acknowledge and thank God for Lil Mama. New Year's Eve was her debut. She knew every word, every note, and I didn't really know it. It was after the service when my wife said, "Did you see Valerie's niece up there?" I said, "Yeah, I saw her sitting with her." She said, "No, she was singing." I said, "She was singing." Yeah, when they stood up, she stood up, and she knew every note, and she was singing with some fire. Amen. Come on down to the altar if you'd like to. God has smiled on me. He has set me free. God has smiled on me. He's been good.
He's been good to me.
Our God and our Father, you have been so good, so good to each and every one of us in here today. It's because of your mercy and your grace that we didn't get shot at a gas station. It's because of your mercy and your grace that we were able to sleep soundly and not have our houses broken into last night. It's because of your mercy and your grace that we woke up knowing who we are and knowing who we belong to. It's because of your mercy and your grace that even if we died 10 minutes from now, to be absent from the body means we're going to be present with the Lord. Your mercy and your grace have kept us along this journey. You still rock us in a midnight hour. You still keep us when we don't know how to keep ourselves. You still bless us when we've done everything for you to turn your back away from us. You still forgive us, even though we still sometimes make the same mistakes over and over again. And you still prove that even when we are not faithful, you are faithful. You still prove that can't nobody do us like you can. You still prove that you are our best friend. You are our father. You are our big brother. You are our sustainer. You are our maintainer. You are our keeper. You are our comforter. You are our wheel in the middle of a wheel. You are our water in dry places. You are our bread in a starving land. You are our Alpha and our Omega. And so we say thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. For all that you are and all that you've been. Bless my brothers and sisters around the altar today and let them know that whatever they are concerned about today, you took care of them yesterday. You're going to take care of them today, and you're going to take care of them tomorrow. We give you the glory. We give you the praise, and we give you the honor in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Amen.
Come on, let's give God some hand praise in here. In lieu of Black History, the Lord put it in my spirit to actually present this song in a completely different way. This song is not particularly about any particular past artists from our history, but the initial concept of gospel music. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
When I was growing up, I always heard the misconception when it came to R&B, soul, music, that they ain't doing nothing but singing gospel music. All that music came out of the church. We all heard that, right? Amen. Well, contrary to popular belief, it is not so. It's not so. Amen. Gospel music came about when secular artists started getting saved and coming into the church. The church used to be used to consist of anthems and hymns. But when musicians started coming from the juke joint into God's joint, that's when the church started doing foot clapping, foot stomping, and clapping their hands. So I'm going to show you how it all began. Terry, do this for me. This beat, give me a kick and hi-hat. Give me this, all right? Come on, Brent, give me some power behind it. Keep on. Put your hands together. Hold on. And then the guitars that came from the juke joint to start doing this. Come on. Here we go. Do it, Carl. Come on, Ben. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Come on. Then the bass will come in. Then they go, God is my everything. God is my everything.
My everything.
He's my joy
and sorrow.
He's my hope.
forgive me.
Clean
me up.
Jesus,
I didn't mean to hurt you.
No.
Or desert you.
Cause I love you.
So much.
I admit it.
That I did it. I didn't mean to let you down.
Please, Jesus, turn my life around and give me
another.
Every time I try to do the right thing,
come on, say something, y'all.
I always end up doing the wrong thing. The only thing I seem to do is keep on messing up. I'm so confused. Lord, I don't know what to do. You told me if I just seek your face and turn from my wicked way, you will heal me, forgive me, and give me another chance.
Sorry. Forgive me.
Clean me
up.
Jesus.
I didn't mean to hurt you.
No.
Nor desert you.
Cause I love you.
Continue now to teach us your ways. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wasn't that wonderful, y'all? Just wonderful. Yeah, Deacon Green got down in the crouch, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Thank you, Minister Ryan, Minister Terry, Minister Deacon Walker. And EMC, wonderful, wonderful. Let's go to Psalm 103 and then Deuteronomy 2. Psalm 103 and then Deuteronomy chapter 2. Psalm 103, Deuteronomy chapter 2. Psalm 103. In Psalm 103, I'm going to begin reading at verse number 2. It reads, "Bless affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of all his benefits, who forgives every one of all your iniquities." Oh, Lord, have mercy. "Who heals each one of all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and corruption, who beautifies, dignifies, and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth, your necessity and desire at your personal age and situation." No, y'all didn't hear that. "Your necessity and your desire at your personal age and your situation with good, so that your youth renewed is like the eagles, strong, overcoming, soaring. The Lord executes righteousness and justice, not for me only, but for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways of righteousness and justice to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel." That's my focus, verse 7. "He made known his ways of righteousness and justice to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel." Have you noticed that when God does things for people, it does not mean that they will repent? It does not mean that they will turn away from their wrongdoing. They'll thank him for a while, and then go back. That's because when God acts on your behalf, it doesn't mean that he has changed your heart. In Deuteronomy 29:4, remember God told Moses to tell Israel, "Yes, you were disobedient, but the reason you were disobedient is because God never gave you a heart to obey." please, whatever you do, do not take holiness for granted. Do not take repentance for granted. And knowing that, I'd like for you to also understand, as we get ready to go into Deuteronomy, that even when God brings you to the place you think will be ideal for you, or the place where you think you won't be dealing with the troubles you're dealing with now, or the place where you think that, okay, once I get here, I'm okay. Even in your promised land, there are giants. Even in your ideal situation and your promised land, there are giants. God will always bring you to a situation where you need his help. Always. What am I talking about? I'm not talking about God's acts. I'm talking about God's ways. The novice in Christ gets excited about his acts. The one growing in Christ learns about his ways. When the disciples and apostles had gone out to perform the miracles God sent them to perform, they came back excited. Lord, we are casting out demons in your name. We're healing the sick in your name. We're doing all of these things that demonstrate your power. And Jesus said, but you're excited about the wrong thing. He said, that's not what you should be rejoicing over. He said, what you should be rejoicing over is that your name is written in the book. Because you can get lost in the vicissitudes of life if you don't know God's ways. You can begin to doubt if you don't know God's ways. You're supposed to grow in Christ so that you do know God's ways, so that when things pop up in your life, you know God has ordained it and God has arranged it because he intends to use it to show you something else about him. This journey is about God illustrating his kindness to you. This journey is about God manifesting his mercy to you. He cannot manifest his mercy to you unless you are in a position to need it. Which is why you keep making mistakes. Because, and you keep dealing with things you haven't conquered yet.
You keep seeing your shortcomings. You keep seeing things that actually you look at and say, Lord, is it any hope? Am I actually getting better? But you see those things because God has so created you and your path to the point where you will always need his mercy. And when he thinks you have gotten above your station and above yourself, he will show you something else. He will show you that everybody else ain't the problem. He will show you that while you've been praying for God to do something with them, you should have been asking God to do something with you. I heard someone say in one of the Bible study classes last week, you want to make sure that you humble yourself because you don't want God to have to do it. So let's go to Deuteronomy 2. I'm going to read quickly and then make our 1 point or 2 points and then let y'all go get ready. Verse 1, this is God telling Moses, or Moses telling the children of Israel, how God has acted, what has taken place on their journey coming to the promised land. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord directed me. And for many days we journeyed around Mount Seir, and the Lord spoke to me, Moses, saying, you have roamed around this mountain country long enough. Turn northward. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
I'm at verse number 3 now. Let me say this too. Some of us are wondering why God is moving us in a different direction. And we don't want to go. Because God is trying to remind you it's a journey, not a pit stop. And God is telling you, you've been walking around that same mountain too long. Are y'all hearing me? Verse number 4, and command the Israelites, you are to pass through the territory of your kinsmen, the sons of Esau, who live in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. So watch yourselves carefully. Do not provoke or stir them up, for I will not give you of their land. No, not enough for the sole of your foot to tread on. For I have given Mount Seir to Esau for what? A possession. Stop. Point to be made. A lot of times you must understand when you are asking God to put you in a particular position, or when you are asking God to situate you in a particular circumstance, God might be telling you, I'm not putting you there because it's for somebody else. He's telling you, it's for somebody else. I'm not gonna give you what I've ordained for somebody else. Just like I'm not gonna give somebody else what I ordained for you. That's why I told you, let me guide the journey. Because you may be coveting something that you're not ordained to have. And that something has become more important to you than the someone. Submission to God means you lead, I'll follow. And put in what we studied last week, ask God to give you his desire. Not last week, week before last. Remember when we were talking about how the Bible says, delight thyself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And then we read the other scriptures that showed us he ain't talking about what you want. He's talking about giving you his desires. Many times, beloved, just chill and ask God to give you his desires. You have to learn to be content. I can guarantee you that someone else wishes they were in your place. Don't want for something else so much so that you miss being thankful for what you have. Come on, let's go. Verse number 5. Do not provoke or stir them up, for I will not give you of their land. No, not enough for the sole of your foot to tread on, for I have given Mount Seir to Esau for a possession. You're going to buy food from them for money that you may eat, and you shall also buy water from them for money that you may drink. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you, and you have lacked nothing. So we passed on from our brethren, the sons of Esau, those are the Edomites, who dwelt in Seir, away from the Arabah, or the wilderness, and from Eloth, and from Ezion-Geber. We turned and went by the way of the wilderness of Moab. And the Lord said to me, do not trouble or assault Moab or contend with them in battle, for I will not give you any of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar to the sons of Lot for a possession. 10, the Emim dwelt there in times past, a people great and many and tall as the Anakim. 11, these also are known as Rephaim, of giant stature, as are the Anakim, but the Moabites call them Emim. I'm reading this passage because a couple of weeks ago I told you God sent Israel into Canaan to kill giants. And that's why in this chapter you're going to see God is very clear. He didn't just send Israel. He sent the Ammonites into one section of Canaan. He sent the Moabites into another section of Canaan. He sent the Edomites into another section of Canaan. And now he's sending the Israelites to the southern portion of Canaan. Canaan was filled with giants. That is part of what what Noah meant when he said, cursed be Canaan. Because these giants were the offspring of angels and humans. And the land was full of them. And you find them not just in Canaan, but you find them in Canaan in this experience. The intent was the angels who sinned and came down to be with human women intended to corrupt the human genome so that the Messiah couldn't come through. They knew he was going to come through because in the Garden of Eden, God said to that serpentine being, who we know wasn't a snake, but to that being, God said, her seed is going to bruise your head. Her seed. Woman ain't got no seed. They knew that that was the prophecy of an incarnation of God in human form, and they wanted to stop it. But they didn't know who they were messing with. And in this instance, I know now Bible study, I know this old news, so I'm going to go anyway. I know, so in case y'all looking at me like, okay, well, we knew this, all right. Thing and all of this, understand, this is what was going on. These are the stories they don't tell. These are the stories you don't hear. These are the things you don't hear when you hear about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No. What is God teaching you about his ways? And God is letting you know all that stuff you thought was fantasy is real. But the devil makes you think less of it so that you won't pay attention to the true reality that's going on. Just like when you look at what's going on, the Bible says there are many antichrists in the world today. You have to understand what an antichrist is. An antichrist is a spirit in human form. And now you're trying to understand, how is it that certain people can follow crazy people and think that the crazy people are Moses or Jesus reincarnated and things of that nature, just like the house, the man in the house speaker just got through likening himself to Moses. And so things of that nature, how can they pervert scripture and try to make it fit what they want it to fit? And how can people fall for this? Because it looks like it's so crazy. Because this ain't got nothing to do with logic. This is spiritual. But if you don't know God's ways, you're going to be walking around here complaining with your mouth, rocks in your jaws and all this kind of stuff without understanding the Bible has clearly told you what's going on. Y'all hear? If the Bible says the ministry that Brother Brackens is over, doing so well, thank you, Brother Brackens, angels unawares, where did that come from? It came from a biblical passage. What does the biblical passage say? That sometimes when you are entertaining individuals, you are actually entertaining angels. Now, if angels can appear in human form, and you want to pretend that this world does not exist, why do you think the Lord said walk in the spirit? Why do you think angels got to protect you all day long? Am I talking to anybody in here? Why do you think he has to have them around you 24/7? Huh? Who do you not even imagine is attacking you and you have no idea about it? Who's attacking you at work? Who's attacking you here? Who's attacking you there? And you get mad at the people and you don't understand. Jesus said, love your enemies. Why? Because the person ain't the issue. It's the spirit in the person. That's why I told you the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You keep trying to fight a spiritual battle on a human plane. That's like trying to go to Kansas City to see the Super Bowl. Super Bowl ain't in Kansas City, it's in Las Vegas.
You were long out of the way. And that's what happens. And then what happens with that is that you allow resentment to build up in your heart. So the spirits have won because they've now allowed you and seduced you into sabotaging yourself. And now they brought you down to their plane because you didn't have enough wisdom to stay in heavenly places. Why? I just need God to help me. I just need God to do something for me. I just need God to enlarge my territory. Do you know what your territory is? Hello, am I talking to anybody? Do you know what your territory, if I asked you right now, what's your territory? If I ask you right now, what did God allot to you? What did God allot to you? We're seeing here, he's talking about his possessions. You want God to enlarge your territory? Define your territory. Second thing is this, do you have one? Is this making sense to anybody? Don't be going with these fads and don't get your gospel from songs. Don't let songs be your Bible because they're wrong. When you look at this, God is saying there are giants up in here. And this is before I bring you into the promised land. But why is that? And I'm going to make this point. And y'all go back to the book. And then I'm going to make this point. And that'll be all for the day. Verse number 10. The Emim dwelt there in times past, a people great and mighty and tall as the Anakim. These also are known as Rephaim, of giant stature. Are y'all reading what I'm saying? As are the Anakim, but the Moabites called them Emim. The Horites also formerly lived in Seir, but the sons of Esau dispossessed them and destroyed them from before them and dwelt in their stead, as Israel did to the land of their possession, which the Lord gave to them. What are you reading? Nothing but nations of giants. Why do you think when the spies went into Jericho, what did they come back and say? We look like grasshoppers. Are y'all listening to me? You're going to bring back a cluster of grapes that it takes two men to carry? Everything in the book is telling you. Why? Because God is going to always have giants in your life. Because he always intends to. Let me go where I'm trying to. I'm going to jump down here. Jump down here, verse number 21. No. Start at 19. But when you come near the territory of the sons of Ammon, y'all read this whole chapter when you go home. Do not trouble or assault them or provoke or stir them up, for I will not give you any of the land of the Ammonites for a possession, because I have given it to the sons of Lot for a possession. That also is known as a land of Rephaim. Rephaim dwelt there formerly, but the Ammonites called them Zamzumim, a people great and mighty and tall as the Anakim. But the Lord destroyed them before Ammon, and they dispossessed them and settled in their stead, as he did for the sons of Esau, who dwelt in Seir, when he destroyed the Horites from before them. And they dispossessed them and settled in their stead even to this day. As for the Avim, another group of giants, who dwelt in villages as far as what? Gaza. Does Gaza sound familiar? So y'all see who was living there? The Kaphtorim. Ooh. Especially when you see that IM on the end. Indicates giants. Who came from Kaphtor, destroyed them, and dwelt in their stead. Rise up, take your journey. Pass over the valley of the Arnon. Now look at verse 25. I'm skipping. No, 24. Rise up, take your journey. Pass over the valley of the Arnon. Behold, I have given into your hand Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread and fear of you upon the peoples who are under the whole heavens, who shall hear the report of you and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. Verse number 29, as the sons of Esau who dwell in Seir and the Moabites who dwell in Ar did for me until I go over the Jordan into the land which the Lord our God gives us. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him, for the Lord your God. For the Lord your God did what? Hardened his spirit and did what? And made his heart obstinate. Why? That he might give him into your hand. Lesson. Last lesson. God will create enemies for you. Because he intends to win a battle through you. Yeah, let me say that again. God will create enemies for you. When you still trying to figure out why they don't like me. Why they keep bothering me? Why they keep after me? Why is it that they keep needling me? Sometimes it could be that you didn't meet their expectations. You weren't who they wanted you to be. And that's okay. But you're going to lose a lot of time sitting there wondering about something that only God can reveal. Maybe they don't like you because God turned their hearts against you. I didn't do nothing to them. What does that have to do with anything? You didn't hear God's ways. God will create enemies for you so that he can win a battle through you. That's why the Lord said, love your enemies. Why? It's not the people. It's the spirits. And so when you're wondering why this is going on, you didn't meet their expectations. You may not be who they wanted you to be. Maybe they wanted to climb your back to something and you took away the ladder. It could be a number of reasons, and you will probably never know. And it could be just as simple as God turned their hearts against you. It don't mean you're a bad person. Doesn't mean that, hey, you know, all right, you know, I don't know what I did. Maybe it's something wrong, my deodorant or my cologne or something like that. No, 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 no. Remember, the battle is not yours. Did you hear me?
Yes.
And always remember as I close for today, you cannot have a victory until the Lord places you in a battle. But he does not put you in a battle with the intent on you losing. Can I say one more thing?
Yes.
No weapon
right.
formed against you shall prosper.
Thank you.
Let me finish that scripture. Let me finish it. And every tongue that is raised against you, you will condemn. That is the heritage of the children of God, and their salvation comes from him. What am I saying? When people talk about you, especially when they don't really know you, when people talk about you because you disappointed them, and so now they're calling you everything but a child of God. When people talk about, that's fine. God made a promise. Let them talk. You're going to have the last word. All right, bow your heads. God, our Father, we ask you to continue to teach us your ways so that we can understand you and who we were created to be. Continue to give us your spirit of peace, your spirit of contentment, and move us not to be working so hard to repair relationships we didn't break. Help us to learn to sit still, be thankful. And whenever the giants show up, we got a sling and we got a rock.
Yeah.
Our rock is Jesus.
Yes.
And so we'll sit back and watch you do what you do as the God of war. There might be somebody here who has not accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Right where you are, say, Lord, I believe that you died for my sins at Calvary. And I believe that you arose 3 days later. After that, Lord, fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your peace. And give me the desire, not the interest, but the desire to learn your ways so that I can know the God who truly loves me. If there's someone who wants to join this congregation right where you are, there are cards in the back of the pews. Feel free to take one, fill it out, and on your way out of the vestibule, place it in the box, and there'll be people and ministers from the membership intake team that will get in touch with you, and it will be an honor for us to love you with the love of the Lord. Now unto the King, immortal, invisible, eternal, be all glory, all majesty, all dominion, and all power, not only now,
but through the eternities of the eternities. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Let every heart say, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.
Love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I love you, Jesus.